on side three.
My work at DeShawn was there as a supervisor of medical social work, which would be the same in any hospital social work department. I was responsible for the supervision of new and less experienced workers in giving them their assignment of cases and helping them with problems that they themselves would need some extra counseling on. I also carried a caseload with this responsibility. In-service training with social work and other disciplines was also part of my responsibility. We worked with physicians, nurses, therapists. We had a unit working with psychiatrists. And this particular program had a unit of help to those who had hearing losses, and it became eventually the hospital that carried in this area patients who had hearing problems, which resulted from their army activity. After I was at DeShawn for a little more than a year, I was approached by the national office through their regional field representative to see whether I would be interested in taking a position in their regional office in Alexandria, Virginia. This was the region that was responsible for military hospitals, both Army and Navy, in the eastern part of the United States. I was very flattered, I'm going to say this, by this offer, but I must say that with the minimal experience that I had in the military through the Red Cross auspices, I felt that they must really be rather unfortunate in personnel that were available. I immediately said that I could not leave my husband and family to take this position, but they countered my protest by telling me that I could use my home in Beaver as my office, and that I would need to, I could carry on my correspondence with the various hospitals that came under the direction of the eastern area, and that my traveling to these hospitals and to the office in Alexandria could be done in 1 week of every month. I discussed this with my husband, and he felt that it was an interesting opportunity and that I should do this. Were you in any way dissatisfied with anything at Deshawn, or the personnel or people you'd come in contact with?
No, I was satisfied, but when I was about to leave, I might say this from my observations. We had a colonel that he was the executive of the hospital, and he was rather unpleasant in his relationship with the Jewish soldiers. This was evident in several situations, one in which he insisted that a physician whose family were in Philadelphia, and this captain would go home on the weekend every couple of weeks to his family, and the colonel insisted that he move his family to Butler, Pennsylvania. Physician had children in a private school, I don't know if it was a private school, but in school in Philadelphia, and he did not want to transfer them. And it was the colonel's insistence that for public relations, he should have his family there. This man eventually asked for a transfer rather than buy others.
Was that then an unusual request to an officer bring his family to the
hospital? Well, I didn't know that was anything the military required, but in this man's estimation, he felt that he would be doing something for public relations that he brought this man's family. I don't know that he insisted on any other patient, any other soldiers or military personnel being required to do this. When this man requested a transfer, he had him transferred overseas, and it was a great deal of strife among the personnel who knew the situation. He would insist that regardless of the rank of with non-commissioned officers, he seemed to select those who were Jewish to do menial kinds of work. We had complaints in the Red Cross social work office from family members of these non-commissioned officers about this, but of course this was nothing that Red Cross could intervene with. My own relationship with him was very casual and pleasant. My rank as a supervisor was second to the director of the social work unit. When I had been invited to go to Alexandria and told my director about this invitation, and she had already been informed by the regional office of Red Cross about this, she told me that the colonel wished to see me. I thought he was being pleasant and saying goodbye to me,
But when I entered his office, he scolded me, telling me that it was unfortunate that Jewish personnel did not want to go through channels, and that the person who was the director should have this promotion, if it were a promotion. And I was, excuse me. I was shocked because nothing had been farther in my mind than to have requested this kind of position, because I didn't know it was available, for one thing, and another, I was really conflicted about even taking it. He made some other very unkind remarks about Jewish military personnel, and I left his office quite shaken. I understand that this was continued with other personnel until they transferred him.
And he was the only one you encountered at the Shawn that did anything like that? Or?
Oh, it was very shocking to me, because I had never had this kind of experience in any career or voluntary activity. I had never encountered anything like this, and particularly, if you remember, World War II, one of our enemies was Hitler, and here was this little Hitler sitting there being so outspoken in his discrimination, both with the military personnel that came under him, and as I could see, the auxiliary personnel, such as the Red Cross provided. He was never promoted beyond his rank, and it seems to me that not much of his personality had interfered with his moving ahead. I certainly felt that in a situation like this, it was very uncomfortable, having had such a beautiful working experience and fine relationships, to have this come as I was departing. But there was nothing that could be done about it. I found my work in Red Cross very exciting, visiting the various departments of visiting various hospitals and their social work programs it was of great interest. At that point, Red Cross developed a scholarship program for social workers who would be interested in moving into the military. They preceded the Veterans Administration and many other scholarship programs, and they gave me the responsibility of directing the scholarship program in the eastern area, and I found that another area of interest, because it was a beginning of
help to people who were qualified but who could not afford to go on to a master's program in schools of social work. They helped to train through their program a great number of social workers who worked in military, both abroad and on the domestic scene.
Or was the scholarship only given if they spent so much time after they had completed their education, coming back and work, doing the practical work with military?
I'm trying to remember. I think there was a verbal commitment to work with the military.
For a specific period of time?
Yes, I think it was a verbal commitment. It was not anything that was
put in a contract
as a contract.
As today.
But most people who took that program certainly were interested. And they really, in terms of the selection of people, they had a very fine reputation of good personal practices, and they really had the cream of the social work group in that program. It was at this period, after I had been with Red Cross for a few years, that I had to stop and change my directions. My husband became ill, and in his mid-40s, developed a cardiac condition. I knew that I could no longer be out of the home traveling, and it was at this time that the director of social service at Montefiore was leaving for another position, and I was invited to become the director of social work at Montefiore. My husband became well, and it was possible for us to continue. At this point, we moved from Beaver to Pittsburgh, where he was closer to medical care, and his business continued to be operated through his management, but he was able to remain in Pittsburgh. I haven't said much about my children, and they're the most precious of my possessions. Gail and Richard went to school in Beaver. And when Gail was in her junior year in high school,
her principal called upon us one evening to ask if we would permit her to apply to the University of Chicago, where Dr. Hutchins, that's H-U-T-C-H-I-N-S, was developing a program for qualified high school students who could begin to work on their bachelor's program while completing their high school work. Because she was only 15 at the time, we were very hesitant to have her do this, but she was most anxious, and we agreed that we would try it for one quarter to see how she got along. And she not only got along well in that quarter, but was able to complete her bachelor's work as well as acquiring her high school diploma in a little more than 2 years. At age 17, she received her bachelor's degree.
What did she get in? Did she have a particular interest in that
Bachelor of Arts degree. The program there was such that they would register for a course, do required readings in that course, attend lectures as they wanted to, and if they could pass the examination, they were given credit for it. So that she would take a couple of courses in the time that one course would be given, and therefore she was able to accomplish all of her credits in a short period of time. She had a social life along with this. She was a very normal young woman in every way. And when she finished, she thought she would like to go into social work. Most schools of social work at that time had an age limit, an age minimal limit at entrance of age 21, and she being 17 was looked upon as an inappropriate candidate. However, the University of Chicago had a one-year course, which they called pre-professional social work, which was given in the University of Chicago School of Social Administration, that's the name, which she took. Then at 18, having completed that and applying to the University of Pittsburgh School of Social Work, she was admitted to the University of Pittsburgh. One of her friends from Beaver County was a young medical student whom it appeared would be a member of our family someday. But in her first year of social work, she met a second year student who had who was a veteran, a World War II veteran, and Gail surprised us one day by asking if she could bring the young man home because she thought they were interested in seriously in each other. My husband was rather shocked that that her choice would be a social worker, because at that time male social workers were not very prevalent. How fortunate we were that she made this choice. Let me ask her. How fortunate we were that he became our son-in-law.
What is his name?
Oscar Curran, who worked in Pittsburgh. In the Veterans Administration after his graduation, and later organized the first program at Harmerville Rehabilitation Center when it was reorganized after having been a home for unmarried mothers. This rehabilitation program is one, it is considered one of the best in Pennsylvania. For this program were the Federation of Girls Schools, which were responsible for changing the program that I described. After a few years in that position, Oscar was offered a position with the Easter Seal Society in their national office in Chicago as a field director. It was at this point that they moved to Chicago, and after a few years there, a got moved to Massachusetts, where Oscar enrolled in a doctorate program at Brandeis. This is very mixed up because meantime the children had been born and Dale was working and so on. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Let's stop. Within a few years, a 2-year period, he completed his work at Brandeis and was offered a teaching position at Portland State in Portland, Oregon, where the family moved. That, of course, represents about 3,000 miles from Pittsburgh. Little did I know then that within another few years they would be traveling farther to the University of Hawaii at Honolulu, where Oscar is the associate dean at the School of Social. I would like to go back now to Gail's career, which occurred simultaneously with her husband's. When she graduated, when she received her master's degree in social work at the University of Pittsburgh, she worked at Children's Hospital while Oscar was at the Veterans Administration, and within a five-year period following her marriage, she gave birth to my two eldest grandchildren, Barry and Beth Curran. While Oscar was at Brandeis, Gail worked in a family, in a school social work, worked in school social work in the Winnetka, Illinois. While Oscar was, I want to correct this. While Oscar was with the Easter Seal Foundation in Chicago, Gail worked in Winnetka, Illinois, in the school system as a school social worker. Then when they moved to Massachusetts, where Oscar entered Brandeis, Gail continued in school social work in Massachusetts. There was several towns there. in Portland, Oregon, she again pursued this interest in school social work. When they moved to Honolulu, she returned to her original interest in hospital social work and is presently the chief social worker in a large hospital in Honolulu, Queens Hospital. Now I think that I'd rather end there because of time.